Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, November the 30th. I have my man, Mike Small, with me. What's up, buddy?
Keith, good to be back, my man.
Great to have you. Now, I don't know if you guys follow Mike, but he's with Fifth Quarter. He does a great job. He's been in the business for years. And so you need to follow my man on Twitter. Can you give him your Twitter handle first?
Real Mike Small.
Yeah, the real one. No, there's nothing fake about it. But
keeping it real.
Keeping it real. Now, today, what we want to do is, I told you yesterday I was going to leave Markelle Fultz alone. I wanted to take a break from him, but today we're going to, in the first segment, we're going to talk about what it will take to get the job done, right? And then in the second segment, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the 76ers' biggest needs, and you know, which I think is defense. I think they need a defender. I mean, I wrote that. We talked about that. Yep. And then thirdly, you know, we're going to talk about tonight's game against the Wizards. I mean, the Wizards are playing better now. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's going to be the easy game that everyone thinks, but I think the Sixers are going to win, but I just don't think it's going to be easy. So you guys sit back and listen, and what we're going to do right now is we're going to, you know, talk about Markelle Fultz. So what do you think is going to take for the 76ers? I mean, what do you think the Sixers are going to have? What do you think the Sixers can get from Markelle Fultz?
Yeah, that's two different questions, right? What do you think they're going to do, and what do you think they can get? So, you know, the good news is that Brian Colangelo is not here anymore, who's invested in the pick. And, you know, Elton Brand can afford to make a deal without having to worry about saving face on it because it wasn't his pick. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, if you look at where this team is, they made the trade for Jimmy Butler, which basically ended the worry of whether or not Markelle Fultz is going to be that third star. And with all the problems that he's having, the last thing that they want is a distraction around. So, you know, as you noted a few times over the last couple of weeks, as you broke the story, his future is not going to be with the 76ers. So the question is, do you let him come back and play a little bit and see if you can increase his value? Or do you just try to cut bait now? Now, if you look back over the last couple of years, you've got Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, you know, and if you add Markelle Fultz to that, the last thing you want is a couple of second-round picks for the number one pick in the draft after what you've done. You know, to me, the best scenario is making that trade with Phoenix and trying to get Trevor Ariza. And I know we're going to talk later about what the Sixers' needs are, but Ariza fills every one of them. I'm not sure what else they can get. They're not going to get a first-round pick. They're not going to get, you know, a young up-and-comer. I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, maybe they can get Mikal Bridges back. Why would Phoenix do that? They're not going to do that. No. So, you know, I think a good expiring contract that could help them this year is the best they're going to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, here's the thing. You know, I think that something that you talked about early on when you mentioned Brian Colangelo.
Yeah.
You know, now, Brian Colangelo is going to get a lot of blame for this pick, right? But at the same time, when the pick was made, everyone in this city was people were excited about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, I was.
Yeah, people were excited about it. So, okay. So now Brian's not here, so of course, you know, he's the fall guy. He's the guy that you blame everything on. Now, so if you're the 76ers, if you're Elton Brand, or if you're the ownership group and this and that, what you can say is, hey, that wasn't our pick.
Right.
So you don't really feel like you have to get equal value. And I know that people are saying, like, yeah, you know, he was the first overall pick. You traded up. Well, listen, I wasn't the one driving the car when that thing went down. So I don't have to get equal value. Now, if it comes, it comes. Now, the thing is, I think the Sixers' best bet is you have Jimmy Butler. And I've written this before. You have Jimmy Butler. You know, you can give him a max now, mm-hmm. right? That $9.7 million that Markelle Fultz has, you want to get that off your books. And you don't want to, like, for instance, Kyle Korver. Everybody was talking about Kyle Korver. Now, Kyle Korver was guaranteed $3.4 million next year. Now, if the Sixers wanted to keep him, they would have to give him the 7.5. But then they would still have 3.4. I think they need to get someone who has an expiring contract now, like you talked about. That way, they can go out and give Jimmy Butler the max, and they could possibly go out there and get another high-quality player who they could pay him some money, right? Because the thing is, if you get a guy now who's going to be under contract next year, that's going to cut into what you can do in free agency. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, we're all talking like, oh, they need to go here. They need to, like, try to save this pick. They need to do this and do that. Well, they tried that, like you said, with Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, all these other people, and they couldn't get squat. So
think about this. If I said to you last summer, you can trade Markelle Fultz, Robert Covington, and Dario Saric, get Jimmy Butler, and be able to re-sign him, you might have signed up for that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And but the thing is, here's the crazy thing. You know, I don't even know if Jared Bayless has the contract. And Jared Bayless, they know that he's hurt. In the right situation, he can excel off the bench. I don't know if teams were too enamored on Markelle. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, to be honest with you, you know, Bayless, Cleveland talked about Bayless early, and they liked his contract, right? But the thing is, it seems like, you know, Markelle, like, as much as everyone wants to talk about San Antonio, oh, Markelle was protected, no. They wanted San Antonio didn't want Markelle.
No.
But the Sixers were willing to ship Markelle. But they, you know, for Kawhi. But
yeah, I think fans are overrating what Markelle's value was over the last year. I mean, even Danny Ainge now, it's coming out that Danny Ainge is telling people that he saw a hitch in Markelle's shot, which is why he was willing to make that trade. You know, I don't know if that's just, you know, him trying to inflate his own ego, but you know, Markelle had no value since the day that the yips began.
Well, I think he had some. I think, yeah, but it's down low right about now.
Right.
The thing about it is, it's just that, you know, he could. I think, here's my thing. Do I think that Markelle Fultz is a bust? I think he's a bust. Probably in Philadelphia. I think he will never live up to being the first overall pick. Do I think Markelle Fultz can go somewhere else and have a great career? Maybe not as the first overall pick, but I think that he could go somewhere else and have a great fit, great career. I just think that with all the stuff that he's been through, it's in his best interest to go elsewhere. But I do think that he's going to be a good player. It's just that he has to be in the right situation. Does that make sense to you?
It does, and I think you and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I really believe that he would benefit from being traded to a smaller market, somewhere that doesn't have the media scrutiny that we have here in Philadelphia. Maybe it's the pressure of being the number one overall pick and being the third star and everything that's happened since then. You know, you send him out to Phoenix, you send him out to Portland or wherever, you might get a whole different player with a fresh start.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, now that we talked about Markelle Fultz, now I guess we need to talk about what the Sixers' biggest needs are. And we'll do that right after this break. All right. Now here, like, everyone wants to talk about Kyle Korver, great shooter. And people were upset when Kyle Korver left, when Kyle Korver was traded to Utah. I don't think Kyle Korver would have helped them as much as people think he would have. Now, he would have made shots, but they need a two-way player. He's not a two-way player. They need a defender. You know what I mean? And that's why I said Trevor Ariza. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some people saying Jamal Crawford, but at the same time, you know, they need a defender. Like, if you get Jamal Crawford, you better hope is like a straight up, and then you can go and get somebody else, like or like some a defender, because that's what the 76ers need. Their second unit, like we said, defenseless. They can't make any stops.
Yeah, that was a great line you had in your story today.
Thank you. They cannot make any stops, and that's what the 76ers need.
I think that a couple of things. One, I think it's very undervalued how much they miss Lloyd Pierce, who was the defensive coordinator for them, who's now the Hawks coach.
Yeah.
You know, they were a top defense last year. Mm-hmm. And what are they, in the low 20s right now?
25th, I believe.
And Jimmy Butler's a great defender, and they will figure it out once they start working more as a unit. But you can't have Kemba Walker scoring 60. You can't have, you know, the two Brooklyn Nets guys just firing at will, dropping 30 points apiece.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting killed at the wing. And if you look back at why they lost to the Celtics last year, they got killed at the wing. Jimmy's going to help. My opinion is I think they need a big man that can play the four, because Wilson Chandler would be a much better player coming off the bench and being a defender. At the three, Jimmy can help out a little bit, and you've got to get a guard that can defend the point. So I think they're two players away. Amir Johnson is about unplayable right now. Mescal has done okay as the backup center, but if they could get a four-man, like, say, a Markieff Morris, to come in and add some toughness and some defense there, maybe Jimmy can drop down low a little bit, focus a little bit more on the guards, but I think you need another guard that can defend the point.
Yeah, I like Markieff Morris. You know, it's Markieff Morris is the type of guy. I mean, it depends on what. If I'm Washington, though, I'm just not trying to let him walk out the door, even though I know this is the final year of his contract. So, I mean, I'm not taking Markel for him if I'm Washington. But it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I mean, maybe you may have to give up something else. Like, maybe they could do a switch where they'll take Wilson Chandler or something like that. But the thing about Markieff, he's a guy moving forward that if it works out, you could try to throw some money at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Now, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to – I mean, I think he's making anywhere between 6 or 7. I'm not 100% sure. But at the same time, you know, he's a guy that you can give maybe 12, 15 million to, and he'll be happy. Now, who knows? A lot of guys look at what J.J. Redick was making last year. Not this year, but last year, thinking the Sixers are going to break the bank for him. But I don't see that. But I can see him being a guy that they can move forward with, you know, next year, because he brings the toughness that they really need.
They do. And when Embiid – you don't want to play Embiid 35 minutes a game. And you can rest him a little bit and stick, you know, a guy like Morris and Mescal in there together – and give him some more minutes, and you're right, add some toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think they can get on the wing, though?
It's tough.
Aside from maybe an Ariza.
Like, you know, a guy like Terrence Ross from Orlando.
Great call.
You know, he's a great agent. You know, you could get him.
They're playing well, though. I don't think they're going to trade anybody.
Nah, they're playing well. But, you know, teams like that. See, a team, they're playing well, but they also need a point guard. You know, but yeah, I think the Sixers, I see the biggest problem with the whole Markel thing right now is that teams want to know what his state of mind is.
Yeah.
They want to know who's calling the shots. They want to know, you know, there are a couple of things that people want to figure out about Markel before they move forward. Now, Phoenix would be good. You know, the Knicks, some people mentioned the Knicks, but the Knicks
that'd be the worst thing for him.
Yeah, they're already overcrowded.
Or Washington, too, where he's from. That might not be a good thing either.
And I think the thing about Washington, you know, you got to realize that's their city, the Wizards. They know more than just about anybody outside of the Sixers, because all they got have to do is make a couple phone calls.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, you know, if people were saying, like I was on a guy's podcast yesterday, and he was saying that he's hearing at Orlando. And, you know, I was like, who? And it may be Terrence Ross, but like you said, I mean, teams may take a gamble, but at the same time, they want to see his state of mind before they do anything. Okay, y'all, after this break, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about tonight's game with the Washington Wizards. All right, man, so what do you think of this game? I mean, you know, you look at the Wizards, everyone talks about how they were in shambles, how they were arguing, how guys were bickering. You know, you hear about John Wall cursing out the coach. You know, another, there's a report that Bradley Beal, you know, got upset and said he wanted to be traded. But to me, sometimes if you're the 76ers, you have to be extremely careful, because at the end of the day, they still do have two all-stars in that backcourt. And when you go in there and you take teams lightly, that's when they come back and bite you in the butt.
You know, I was looking at the schedule a week ago, and I saw Cleveland, New York, Brooklyn, and Washington. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a nice little four-game stretch. You saw the loss to Cleveland. Brooklyn took heroics by Jimmy Butler at the end. You know, Wednesday night against the Knicks was a breeze. But I don't think this one's going to be a breeze. I think they're playing for pride right now. And, you know, that's the one thing that talent can overcome some poor strategic, you know, intent by a team. If a team's not playing well strategically, rather, try to clean that sentence up a little bit. If a team's not playing well strategically, guys like John Wall and Bradley Beal can just take over and just start scoring at will. They're an odd team. You know, it was one of those things where everybody knew going into the season, you're adding guys like Dwight Howard, and we won't talk about his situation this week, Austin Rivers. These are notoriously bad teammates going into a situation where everybody was tweeting, thank you for the great teamwork, after John Wall got hurt last year, if you recall that. They're a mess, and Scott Brooks has not been able to corral that. So you never know what's going to happen. The Sixers could win by 50, but they also could lose the game because there is some talent there, and if they take them lightly, and, you know, one of the things that we've learned is the perimeter defense has not been good, and Bradley Beal and John Wall are both quick, talented guards. If the Sixers can't stop them, it could be a long night.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, you're looking at Bradley Beal and John Wall. So, you know, they won a couple nights ago against the Houston Rockets, and in overtime, it was 135 to 131. And in that game, you know, John Wall had 36 points, 11 assists. Bradley Beal had 32 points, 4 assists. And your guy, Markieff Morris, comes off the bench, and he has 22 points and 11 rebounds. So, you know, if these two guys are hot, and especially when we're looking at, you know, the Sixers' defense that gives up a lot of points to guards.
Right.
You know, this is a bad matchup. Now, again, you know, you have Thomas Bryant, you know, who because of, what's my man's name, with the center for the Wizards.
Howard?
Yeah, Howard, yeah. Because Dwight, you know, is dealing with his situation. So Thomas Bryant, so you hope that Embiid can just dominate him, just destroy him, if you're a Sixers fan, to help you out. But I think they're going to have a tough time, you know, with John Wall and Bradley Beal. Now, again, I know that Jimmy Butler, you know, is probably going to guard one of them, but who guards the other guy? You know, you're not going to put J.J. Redick on him.
No.
So then you're trying to put, you know, Ben Simmons. I could probably see, let's go with some length on Ben Simmons. But, you know, I mean, Ben Simmons on John Wall, but is that really going to work? You know, so to me, you have to limit these two guys, and that's a tough matchup for the Sixers.
Well, the one thing that we've noticed since Jimmy Butler came aboard is that their switching defense has not been as sharp as it could be. You know, they did just have a practice this week. I know yesterday they had a little bit of a walkthrough. You've got to hope that that's going to start coming together, but you're right. I think one-on-one, you're not going to be able to guard those guys. So if Simmons is going to be on Wall and, you know, Butler is going to come down on Beal, and you hope that Redick can just kind of help out here and there. You know, and then when Landry Shamet comes in, you know, he's been great, but he can't guard anybody yet.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to hope that the switching is going to be able to make up for it, and Embiid can be the stopper down low.
Mm-hmm.
It does look like their pick-and-roll defense is getting a little bit better. It definitely looked a lot better against the Knicks, but it's really hard to tell if the Knicks are just horrible or if it is getting better.
Yeah, and getting back, like what I said, that wasn't their last game. That was the game that they played before their last game. A couple of days ago, they lost to the New Orleans Pelicans, 125-104. And if you look at it, they had a tough time against Anthony Davis.
Right.
He had 28 points and 15 rebounds. But, again, what happened is teams basically limited the scoring output of John Wall. You know, he had 17 points. He had 7 assists. So you're saying 17 points. But, you know, you can deal with that. You know, Bradley Beal, he had 16 points and 11 assists. So, you know, and Kelly Oubre had 22 points. So you can live with him scoring 22 points. But if you could keep these other two guys in the teams, then you have a chance. But at the same time, Anthony Davis was going beast mode on him. So I think if I'm the Sixers, I want to follow that same type of thing. Try to defend these guys. But when you look at when you look at Drew Holiday, you know, he's a pretty good guy, a combo guy. Now, Drew Holiday had 29 points. Now, Tim Frazier, he plays for the Sixers. I like him a lot. You know, he played a good game. The game he had a double-double. He had 12 points, 12 assists. But at the same time, it's like, to me, the key was Anthony Davis and the other two guys having a hard time shooting.
This could be one of those 135-130 games. I mean, I think it's going to be high scoring. I don't think that the Wizards can stop the Sixers at all. If Simmons is getting his way penetrating and Jimmy Butler is going to be aggressive to shoot, I think Embiid's going to have another monster game. It wouldn't surprise me if this is a really high-scoring game. It was nice that the Sixers were able to hold the Knicks under 100. It's only, I think, the fourth time all year they've held an opponent under 100. And that's been a little disappointing, but it's going to be hard to do that with this team. I think they're just going to have to outscore them, and hopefully, you know, Simmons and Butler are able to contain the guards.
All right. Well, hey, man, I want to thank you for joining this podcast. And like I said, this is your second time on. I want to get you on more. And I want to appreciate you from coming down to Washington Township this morning so we can get it done.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and great coverage on Fultz. It's been a pleasure to read your stuff.
All right, man. Who keeps paying you to say that? All right. Well, hey, y'all, thanks. Thank y'all for listening, and have a great day, and I'll be back with you guys on Monday morning.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yeah, it was good, buddy. Have a nice one, y'all.